en grupobaugan.com/clases telefónicas.
Everybody, it's your old friend Wheezy here. I'm losing my voice. My voice comes and goes. Viene y va. Como las temporadas del año, no? Like the seasons, my voice comes and goes, like the wind. Today, we'll see how it holds up, as, like so many others, como tanta gente en esos días, con un poco de tos, un poco de voz regular, no? Tino, I think a lot of people are having these issues, right? Hay mucha gente. Yeah, I see. But we got a wonderful show for you today. Let's not let that ruin the mood, everybody. Fastidiar la situación. No, no puede pasar. No te preocupes. We got lots to talk about. We got expressions. We got grammar. We got history. We got music from George Harrison, from my favorite Beatle, today on the show. Tino loves this one as well. We got a nice song today. And we're going to have, we're going to do a business letter as well, Tino. We don't do it every day, pero de vez en cuando, una vez al año no hace daño, right? Every once in a while, we get into it. We've got our famous What's the Difference section. We have some weird news as well that we were going to do the other day, and I missed it. So we'll get into some weird news today and history, requests, and more. Let's dive right in, folks. Let's get right into the action. My name is Kyle Miller, and welcome to Drive Time.
Welcome to Drive Time with Kyle Miller.
Everybody, welcome to the Drive Time Show. Thanks for tuning in, for deciding to invest in yourself. That's right. On this Wednesday, and we have a wonderful show today. This evening, we have the Vaughn Radio Trivia Night. Oh my gosh, you can come down and meet us. I'm looking forward to it. I hope to see you all there. And I know Richard, I think Richard's going to be there, Richard Vaughn. I know his daughter Andrea will be there, who co-hosts the morning, the lunchtime show with Rob Grams. They'll be there presenting along with Nacho, along with Fitz and myself and Guy Williams and Alberto Alonso. So come and meet us. Come say hello. We would love to see you this Wednesday, well, tonight, excuse me, at Real Madrid, Amaniel 23. Eso es. So come on out, Amaniel 23, after the show, 8:30 p.m. a las 8 y media. And I'll see you there. Okay. Now, as we get into our show today, we're going to start with some translation. We do it almost every day. Casi siempre. Almost always. We almost always do it. Casi siempre lo hacemos. So let's jump into it as we dive into the warm-up gym.
The warm-up gym.
Warm-up gym.
All right, here we go, everybody. We're going to start with some translation. That's right. I will give you the sentence in Spanish, and you can say it in English. Do you think people are ready for this, Tino? ¿Están listos o qué? Claro. People at home are saying, yeah, dame la frase. Okay. He ganado mucho peso últimamente. I've gained a lot of weight lately. Últimamente, lately. Lately. Now, you could also say recently. Bueno, recientemente. Es lo mismo. It's basically the same. Recently, lately. I would say lately is much more common. I say lately three times more often than I say recently. Casi siempre le veo por la noche. I almost always see him at night. Por la noche. At night. We don't say for the night. We say at night. I almost always see him at night. Casi siempre. Almost always see him at night. Mm-hmm. Casi nunca consiguen sus objetivos. They hardly ever achieve their objectives. No sé por qué, pero es así. They hardly ever achieve their objectives. Hardly ever. They hardly ever achieve their objectives. Suelo hacerlo días alternos. I usually do it every other day. Días alternos. I usually do it every other day. Every other day. Un día sí, un día no. Right? Tino, what's something you do every other day? I mean, for me, I would say I probably go to the supermarket every other day. Yo, por ejemplo. I go quite often. Un día sí, un día no. Un día sí, un día no. Every other day. Did you know that there are Olympic Games every other year? People say, no, eso es mentira. Mentira. Pero no es mentira. If you consider summer and then winter, right? So summer, pasan dos años, y luego invierno, y luego dos años. So algún tipo de Juegos Olímpicos hay cada un año sí, un año no. Every other year. Yeah, every other year. There's some form of Olympic Games. Every other day, I go to the supermarket. Yeah. There's a certain cafe that I go to every other day. Un día sí, un día no. Todos los días no. Demasiado. Un día sí, un día no. Every other day. Every other day. Uh-huh. Tienen que tomarse una decisión. Now, this is the passive voice, right? No estoy diciendo que yo tengo que tomarlo, ni tú, ni él. It's passive. A decision. Let's talk about the decision. A decision has to be made, right? I have to make it. You have to make it. I don't know who has to make it, but a decision has to be made. Tomado. So remember our rules for the passive voice. We have the verb to be getting conjugated. And then we have getting conjugated according to the tense. And then we have the main verb going into the participle, el participio. The cake has been eaten. The cake was eaten yesterday. The cake will be eaten tomorrow. Eaten. The main verb goes into the participle, regardless of the tense. We conjugate the verb to be. Así funciona la voz pasiva en inglés. And we use it when we want to emphasize the subject or a particular subject, maybe possibly de-emphasize another subject. Okay? So if I say, for example, I broke the window. I could say, the window was broken. Let's talk about the window. Let's not talk about me. The window was broken. So it's a perfect example of the passive voice. The window was broken. But look at that verb. Break, broke, broken. The window is broken. The window will be broken. The windows have been broken. The windows will be broken tomorrow. The window, one window will be broken tomorrow. It is being broken now. Whatever. We can change, but it's the verb to be that gets conjugated. The main verb stays in the participle. Amigo. Curioso, no? People at home are saying, eso sí que es interesante. La gramática. Mm-hmm. Okay. Ya han sido informados. They've already been informed. Ya han sido informados. They have already been informed. Algo extraño va a suceder. Suceder. Something strange is going to happen. Eso sí. Something strange is going to happen.
Es una cosa muy rara.
Claro. Something strange is going to happen. Fue la reunión más corta a la que jamás he asistido. It was the shortest meeting I've ever attended. The shortest. It's the superlative. We can use the article, the shortest. It was the shortest meeting I've ever attended. Qué bien. Right? I prefer short meetings to longs. It was the shortest meeting I've ever attended. Very good. Okay, I'm gonna raise the level here a little bit, folks. Vamos a subir el nivel un poquito. ¿Cuál es el momento más peligroso de un vuelo? ¿Cuál es el momento más peligroso de un vuelo? Do you know it, Tino? El momento que se rompe el motor. The moment it crashes. Yeah. What's the most dangerous moment of a flight? El viaje de tu casa al aeropuerto. No sé, pero bueno. The trip from your house to the airport.
Por favor, no corra.
Exactly. You got to be careful, right? You don't want to rush it. You don't want to rush it. You got to take your time. Okay? The trip. El viaje. Trip. Que sustantivo. Travel is a verb. Trip is a noun. Travel is a verb. Trip is a noun. Take a trip to travel. Ha habido un cambio en el programa. There's been a schedule change. There's been a schedule. There's been a schedule change, Tino. Tino's laughing. There has been a schedule change. We say schedule. Some people say schedule, but no, I say schedule. There's been a schedule change. Si lo aflojarás, podrías sacarlo. Si lo aflojaras. Si lo aflojaras, podrías sacarlo. If you loosened it, you could take it out. Mm-hmm. Sacar. To take out. If you loosened it, you could take it out. Very good. All right, I think we're all warmed up, Tino. Why don't we do this? Let's do the expression of the day, and then we'll do the what's going on if we have one, okay? Let's quickly go ahead with our expression of the day.
Expression of the day.
Well, the expression of the day today is to butter someone up. Echar mantequilla a alguien. Qué raro. Now, to butter, we say to butter up your bread. So we make a verb out of it. Echando mantequilla, buttering it. Buttering the bread, buttering the toast. Buttering the vegetables, but to butter up. And this is kind of a case where The up doesn't add much. Which is often the case with the preposition up. We sometimes say, to fix it up, arreglar la casa, fix the house, fix up the house. Llamar a Pedro, call Pedro, call him up. The up doesn't add much, right? Call him up, fix it up. Butter him, or butter it up, butter the toast, butter up the toast. So the up isn't adding much, but we do have this expression to butter someone up, que es otra cosa, which is to praise someone. Oh, you're great, you're wonderful, to praise or flatter someone. So it's almost like, maybe it's a little bit like haciendo la pelota, no? Doing the ball. No, haciendo la pelota. But people wonder where this came from. People say, Kyle, ¿de dónde viene eso? El refrán ese. Well, it comes from India, where apparently it was common to throw balls of butter, or ghee, which is clarified butter, common used in Indian cooking, at statues of the gods to seek forgiveness. Now, also in Tibetan tradition, going way back to the Tang Dynasty, which was a dynasty in Tibet back in the year 600s through to the around the 900s, I think, involved creating sculptures out of butter for New Year's with the belief that these offerings would bring peace and happiness. The sculpture of butter. That'd be very expensive today. ¿Has visto el precio de la mantequilla? It's through the roof. Está por las nubes. Very expensive. It's the price of butter is through the roof, Tino. Very expensive.
Está la cosa mala.
Exactly. It's true. It's true. Está la cosa muy mala. Yeah. Very expensive time to be buying butter. But to butter, I think it comes from this Indian, where they would throw butter balls at statues to butter someone up. So it's like, but you know, you don't have to know that. What you have to know is that it's basically like hacerse la pelota a alguien, to butter someone up. He's buttering him up. He's trying to butter up the boss. To butter someone up, often before that person is going to make a decision. So someone, imagine the boss is going to decide to give someone a raise or a promotion. And people try to butter up the boss to try to get into temporarily better positions with the boss to improve their probability of being chosen. Okay? So that's our expression, to butter someone up. Now, we've got a section here where we try to listen to someone speaking some real English. And then we analyze it and try to figure out what is happening. We try to figure out what's going on.
You may not know what's going on.
Everybody, it is that time for the world famous What's Going On section. Now we're going to try to listen to the track, see what's happening, and see if we can figure it out. Okay, so here we go. Tino, let's hear the track.
Yes, we had a shareholders meeting. The Apple II, my Apple II, was all mine, was all of the income of Apple for the first 10 years of the company. What gave Apple the springboard to become what it is now? Okay, it was that product was important. It was bringing in millions of dollars a month. All the revenues of the company, we had just introduced the Macintosh. We had a shareholders meeting. All you heard, Macintosh. They didn't mention the Apple II once. Okay, and so after the shareholders meeting, I went back to the Apple II-III building, nice triangle building on 280, and the great people that ran that division and the engineers on the Apple II side were just storming. They were just so mad. They were talking about ready to quit because they'd been so insulted by like being treated like they were nothing. That's how Jobs treated it. The Macintosh is everything, and Apple II, they're bozos.
Ooh. Bozo. Bozo is like un payaso. So this is a guy named Steve Wozniak talking. Steve Wozniak, who co-founder of Apple, along with the famous Steve Jobs. And he's talking about a time when the computer that Wozniak, according to him, Steve Wozniak, he invented or developed this computer, the Apple II. And he says the Apple II was the computer that was, or the product that was bringing in all the money to Apple. Llevando todo el ingreso, todo el dinero a la empresa. But everybody was talking about the Mac. It was in development. It was so exciting. The Mac. So Steve Jobs had been developing the Mac, and he gave this annual meeting or this big presentation, and he focused so much on the Mac that the developers of the Apple II, Wozniak's invention, they weren't given much credit. And so he said, Wozniak says, I went back to the Apple II office and they were very upset. The workers were angry. They were talking about quitting, and they were angry. They were upset because there was no mention of the Apple II, of their product. He says, we were treated as if, como si fuéramos unos payasos, as if we were some clowns, as if we were a bunch of bozos. Bozo is like a generic name for a clown, essentially. So this is what he's talking about. So he's talking about the early days of Apple, probably the mid-1980s, I would say. Los años 80, me imagino. Okay? So it's Steve Wozniak, Steve Jobs' partner in the early days of Apple, talking about Steve Jobs and his presentation, speaking highly of the Mac, but failing to mention the Apple II, which was really paying the bills, pagando la luz en Apple. En ese momento, era Apple II, que pagaba la luz, right? That was paying for everything. A estas alturas. ¿Cómo? Las facturas. Pagando las facturas. Eso es. Exactly. Keeping the lights on. Keep paying the bills. That's right. So let's hear it. Let's hear it all one more time.
Yes, we had a shareholders meeting. The Apple II, my Apple II, was all mine, was all of the income of Apple for the first 10 years of the company. What gave Apple the springboard to become what it is now? Okay, it was that product was important. It was bringing in millions of dollars a month. All the revenues of the company, we had just introduced the Macintosh. We had a shareholders meeting. All you heard, Macintosh, 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 Macintosh. They didn't mention the Apple II once. Okay, and so after the shareholders meeting, I went back to the Apple II-III building, nice triangle building on 280, and the great people that ran that division and the engineers on the Apple II side were just storming. They were just so mad. They were talking about ready to quit because they'd been so insulted by like being treated like they were nothing. That's how Jobs treated it. The Macintosh is everything, and Apple II, they're bozos.
That's how Jobs treated it. The Macintosh was everything. Era todo. And the Apple II, they were bozos. Right? There you have it. According to Steve Wozniak, the early partner to Steve Jobs in the early days of Apple. And there you have it. That is our What's Going On section. All right, we're going to leave it at that. Hey, I think we have just enough time for an interactive section really quick as we throw out. We'll put it out there. I'm talking about today's Twitter translation.
Twitter translation.
All right, it's time for the Twitter translation, everybody. And I'm going to give you the sentence in Spanish. You can write in English if you want to participate. Tino, how can they find me on Twitter?
Sigue a Kyle en Twitter y en Instagram.
I'm Kyle Miller.
O lo que es lo mismo, IM, Lemillar, Lemillar, Lemillar.
All right, that's right. I'm Kyle Miller. IM, Lemillar. True. I'm Kyle Miller is a name on Instagram and on Twitter. Make sure you join the fun on Twitter. I'm going to try to get back into Twitter. All right, I feel like getting back into Twitter, into the Twitter world, everybody. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? Nadie hizo nada para pararme. Nadie hizo nada para pararme. Para pararme. Nadie hizo nada para pararme. Tell me how to say that in English. We'll talk about that and much more later on in our Drive Time show. Stay with us, everybody. Don't touch that dial.
¿Quieres recibir clase conmigo? Pues si quieres, tienes 200 horas de clase de inglés gratis en RTVE a la carta. Ve a Google y escribe Vaughan RTVE a la carta. Y presto, ahí verás más de 370 clases de media hora y cada día se añade una más. Desde principiante hasta avanzado, te llevo por todo lo necesario de mi idioma. Píldoras potentes de inglés. También hay libros de texto que acompañan al curso, pero son opcionales. Con o sin ellos, aprenderás mucho inglés o mejorarás mucho tu dominio. Pruébalo en Google. Vaughan RTV a la carta. Ahí nos veremos.
Mi hermano Raúl se está preparando para ser piloto. Lleva 500 horas con el simulador de vuelo y mañana es su primer vuelo real. Con 500 horas de simulador estará súper preparado, ¿no crees? ¿Quieres subir con él mañana en su primer vuelo? Y por otra parte, mi novio Tomás también se está formando como piloto, pero solo tiene 5 horas de simulador, no 500 como mi hermano Raúl. Sin embargo, ya ha llevado un aparato arriba 5 veces y lo ha aterrizado con éxito. Si no, ya no sería mi novio, ¿verdad? No tiene 500 horas de formación como mi hermano, solo 10 entre simulador y vuelo real, y mañana llevará el aparato arriba por 6ta vez. Si tuvieras que subir con uno de los dos, ¿con quién subirías? Para nosotros, al menos psicológicamente, una hora de vuelo real equivale a 100 horas de simulador. Subiríamos seguramente con mi novio Tomás, a pesar de sus pocas horas de formación. Para hacerse con un total dominio del inglés, la cosa es exactamente igual. Una hora en Vaughan Town, superando la ansiedad y los apuros de comunicación, equivale a 100 horas de clases de inglés.
Nunca vas a hablar un inglés perfecto, ni lo hablo yo. Tengo mis momentos elocuentes y mis momentos menos elocuentes en mi propia lengua materna, que es el inglés. Así que repito, nunca vas a hablar un inglés perfecto. Ahora bien, si quieres tener un perfecto dominio de los entornos de comunicación en mi idioma, algo muy diferente, vete a Vaughan Town. Allí, entre angloparlantes de los más variopintos, avanzarás 1,000 kilómetros en confianza, convicción y aplomo. Dominarás los entornos de comunicación a pesar de un dominio aparentemente imperfecto del inglés.
Este sábado, pásate por tu kiosco y pide tu ejemplar de Aprende Inglés con Disney English Vaughan, con el mundo y marca. Por 6,95 euros, tus hijos y tú aprenderéis inglés con vuestros personajes Disney favoritos y los mejores profesores Vaughan. Esta semana es el turno de Mulan. Así que ya sabes, este sábado en tu kiosco, por 6,95 euros, con el mundo y marca. Aprende Inglés con Disney English Vaughan.
Si necesitas mejorar tu inglés sin perder el tiempo, con un método que realmente funciona, hazte con uno de nuestros cursos trimestrales. Infórmate sin compromiso en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com.
Don Quijote y Sancho Panza, Cleopatra y Marco Antonio, Adán y Eva, Romeo y Julieta, Vaughan y Disney.
Sí, ya lo has oído. Vaughan y Disney siguen colaborando para que tus hijos aprendan inglés mientras se divierten. La magia de Disney con la calidad de Vaughan. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate.
If you are a mother or father, one of your most important responsibilities is to make sure that your children reach adulthood with a very strong command of English. Very strong. If you don't follow through on this responsibility, then your children will encounter many obstacles in the job market. they will not be attractive in the market. Between the age of 22 and 32, mastery of English is more important than anything else in order to find a job and in order to move up in an organization. It's more important than a university degree, a master's degree, or even a doctorate. English. After age 32, other skills and abilities become more important. But in the first 10 years, mastery of English is the king, and it will open doors right and left.
Si tienes un smartphone o una tablet, no tienes excusas. Descarga ya nuestra app de Vaughan Radio y podrás escuchar nuestra radio en directo, enviarnos tus tweets, conocer nuestra parrilla, acceder a nuestros podcasts y enterarte de todas las novedades de Vaughan. Aprende inglés en cualquier momento y en cualquier lugar con la app de Vaughan Radio.
You know this one. You have to know this song, right? It was a big hit from 1987. And I'm talking about George Harrison of the Beatles, who had a hit with this song, originally written by Rudy Clark, recorded by a guy named Ray James in 1962. And Harrison bought a copy of the single in the summer of 1963 when he was visiting his sister in Illinois. And a lot of years later, he was writing this album, Cloud Nine. He remembered the song and decided to cover it. Es decir, hacer una versión de la canción. Now, Cloud Nine was George Harrison's comeback album. He hadn't had a hit since 1981 with the song All Those Years Ago. And his last U.S. number one hit was Give Me Love. Give me love, give me love, give me peace on earth. Da 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 da, that one in 1973. Until the Beach Boys released Kokomo, Harrison had the record for the longest time between number one hits. Now, this song was the last single to reach the charts. And this was 1987 on the record Cloud Nine. Okay? Now, he put out another album in 1987 called Gone Tropo. But it didn't work. It was a flop. Un fallo bastante, no? It failed. It wasn't a hit. It wasn't a success. So to prove that he could develop a hit, he released this very simplistic cover song, and it was a huge success. A lot of his work was well off the mainstream, using unusual instrumentation and different types of sounds. He had also befriended the band leader of the band ELO, Electric Light Orchestra, Jeff Lynne, who produced this song. He got together with Lynne and Roy Orbison, Bob Dylan and Tom Petty, and they formed one of my favorite bands, the Traveling Wilburys. And the video shows Harrison surrounded by household objects that move on their own. Yeah, and Weird Al Yankovic, who I love. Weird Al Yankovic did a parody called This Song's Just Six Words Long. This song is just six words long. Weird Al's great, too. Is Weird Al... I don't think Weird Al is really known in Spain. Do you know him, Tino? Pero le conocen o no? No, he isn't really known. But he's a parody artist. He's a parody artist who takes popular songs and then he does his own comedic lyrics to them, but he performs them really well. But let's take a look at this song. I've got my mind set on you. So to be set on, to be set is fijado. La mente, lo tengo la mente, mi enfoque es en ti. I'm set on you, I'm focused on you, my mind, I've got my mind, lo tengo, I have my mind, I've got my mind set on you. Set on you. But then he says, va a hacer falta muchas cosas. It's going to take money. It's going to take money, a whole lot of spending money, mucho dinero, bastante dinero. It's going to take plenty of money, dinero de sobra, para hacerlo bien, to do it right. It's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of precious time. It's going to take patience and time to do it, 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 to do it right. Bah. I got my mind set on you. Repeat, 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 repeat. And this time I know it's for real. And this time I know it's for real. The feelings that I feel. I know if I put my mind to it. To put your mind to it means to enfocar. Si enfoco en ello, I know that I really can do it. Puedo hacerlo, verdaderamente hacerlo esta vez. I got my mind on you, I got my mind set on you, I got my mind set on you. But it's going to take money, a whole lot of spending money. It's going to take money, time, patience. This time I know it's real. The feelings that I feel, if I put my mind to it, I know I can do it. It's going to take... So he says, muchas cosas, pero lo puedo conseguir. That's the whole song. And it's a hit. It was a hit, right, Tino? Was that a hit in Spain? It was a big hit everywhere. It's a very catchy song. Pegadizo. Yeah. And, one of his biggest as a solo artist. And it was quite different from the Beatles sound, really. Very different. Not like a typical Beatles song. Quite different. But a cool song, a very 80s song. Muy ochentera, no?
A un ritmo.
Yeah, it has a certain rhythm to it, a certain... Yeah, it's catchy, pegadizo, right? So not just Mariano Rajoy, but everybody knows that it's has a nice rhythm to it. All right, folks, there we go. That was our song today. I got my mind set on you, George Harrison, from his album Cloud Nine, going back to 1987. Now, let's go ahead to some business. You know I like business a lot, so much that I wrote a book on it, but I want to do a little bit of translation today as we get down to business.
Let's get down to business.
Ding! All right, time to get down to business, and today we're going to translate a business letter. Okay, people are saying, ah, qué bien, por fin. Yeah, I do this every once in a while, normally once a week. Una vez a la semana, más o menos, ¿no, Tino? Maybe, maybe not, maybe less. But anyway, so here we're going to... I'm going to read the letter in Spanish, little by little, and you can go building in, translating into English, and I will translate along. But you can write this down. So get out your pen and paper. Saca tu bolígrafo. Or your computer, whatever you want. With a word processor, and you can work along. Here we go. Estimado Juan. Estimado Juan. We say, dear John. Primero, quiero recordarte que tenemos una reunión prevista para el próximo miércoles, día 13, en la sala azul del Hotel Zurbarán. Primero, first of all, quiero recordarte que I want to remind you that I want to remind you that we have a meeting scheduled for next Wednesday, the 13th, in the Blue Room of the Zurbarán Hotel. I want to remind you that we have a meeting scheduled for next Wednesday, the 13th. El próximo, Bueno, miércoles día 13 en la sala azul del Hotel Zurbarán. The Zurbarán Hotel. Te digo esto porque... hold on here. We have a meeting scheduled for next Wednesday, the 13th, in the Blue Room of the Zurbarán Hotel. Okay. Te digo esto porque recuerdo que la última vez que fijamos una reunión parecida con tanta relación, se te olvidó. Te digo eso. Dice, I am telling you this. Como te estoy diciendo eso. I'm telling you this because I remember. Porque recuerdo que la última vez que fijamos una reunión parecida con tanta antelación, se te olvidó. The last time we set a similar meeting so far in advance, con tanta antelación, you forgot about it. Se te olvidó. You forgot about it. You forgot about it. Espero que tu memoria no te falle esta vez. I hope your memory doesn't fail you this time. I hope your memory doesn't fail you this time. Espero que tu memoria no te falle esta vez. I hope your memory doesn't fail you this time. Te escribo porque el otro día tropecé con Charlie Porter cuando estaba comiendo con el vicepresidente del Banco Puello en el granero. Te escribo porque el otro día tropecé con alguien. To run into someone. Ah. ¿Vale? Te escribo porque el otro día tropecé con Charlie Porter. So, voy un poco más lento para que puedas escribir en inglés, ¿vale? Para que puedas ir traduciendo a la vez. Te escribo porque el otro día tropecé con Charlie Porter cuando estaba comiendo con el vicepresidente del Banco Puello en el granero. I'm writing to you because the other day I ran into Charlie Porter when I was having lunch. Cuando estuve comiendo, when I was having lunch with the vice president of the Puello Bank in El Granero. El Granero, yeah. The barn. Yeah, we could say, en El Granero. Okay. Ha adelgazado. Excuse me. Ha adelgazado mucho. Eso es. Y me dice que ahora trabajo como consultor en temas relacionados con fusiones y adquisiciones. Qué bien. Ha adelgazado mucho. Como ha perdido mucho peso. ¿Cómo se dice eso en inglés? We can say he has lost a lot of weight. Yeah. He's lost a lot of weight. Y me dice que ahora, and he says that now, ahora trabajo como consultor en temas relacionados con fusiones y adquisiciones. And now he works as a consultant in subjects relacionado con adquisiciones, bueno, fusiones y adquisiciones, in subjects related to mergers and acquisitions. Fusiones y adquisiciones. Mergers and acquisitions. I told him, bueno, le conté que estabas buscando una forma de vender parte de tu empresa a un socio extranjero. Y él pareció muy interesado en conocer más detalles. Le conté que estabas buscando una forma de vender parte de su empresa a un socio extranjero. I told him that you were looking for a way, que buscabas una forma. You were looking for a way to sell, tener un parte de tu empresa a un socio extranjero. A way to sell part of your company to a foreign partner. A foreign partner, un socio extranjero. Y el precio será en conocer más detalles. Sí. He seemed very interested in, interesado en, we say interested in, knowing. Más ING, siempre. Interested in knowing more details. Interesado en conocer más detalles. Yeah. I told him you were looking for a way to sell part of your company to a foreign partner, and he seemed very interested in knowing more details. Le di tu número de teléfono.
Muy bien.
Le di tu de teléfono. I gave him your phone number. Yeah. I gave him your phone number. I gave him your telephone number. Espero que no te importe. Espero que no te importe. I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind. Espero que no te importe. I hope you don't mind. Puede que Charlie no sea la persona más agradable del mundo. Pero tienes que reconocer que conoce las reglas del juego mejor que la mayoría. I hope you don't mind. You could say, Charlie may not be the most. Puede que Charlie no sea la persona más agradable del mundo. Pero tienes que reconocer que conoce las reglas del juego mejor que la mayoría. Pero tienes que reconocer. But you have to admit. Reconocer, to admit. Que conoce las reglas del juego mejor que la mayoría. That he knows the rules of the game. Las reglas del juego. You have to admit. He knows the rules of the game better than most. Okay? So, espero que no te importa. Puede que Charlie no sea la persona más agradable del mundo, pero tienes que reconocer que conoce las reglas del juego mejor que la mayoría. Mejor que la mayoría, excuse me. So, I hope you don't mind. Charlie may not be the most pleasant person in the world, but you have to admit he knows the rules of the game better than most. Okay? Manténme al corriente. Keep me informed. Saludos. You could say regards, for example. Okay, so let's look at some of the grammar that we saw in this letter. So hopefully you have the whole letter. Espero que ya tienes toda la carta escrita. Que tengas, espero que ya tengas. I hope you have the whole letter written now in English. Primero quiero recordarte que. And by the way, if you like this exercise and you need to develop your written English, look for the business letters from Vaughn. You can find them in the Vaughn shop, the Baugan Tienda, baugantienda.com. You can find these business letter books, okay? Quiero recordarte que tenemos una reunión prevista, papá. I want to remind you. So remember, remember is internal. Remind is to cause someone to remember. So it's external. It's an external factor that causes someone to remember. I want to remind you that we have a meeting scheduled for next Wednesday, the 13th. Oh, we also had the structure. Ha adelgazado mucho. He has lost a lot of weight. He's lost weight. He's engordar, we could say, to put on weight. Perder peso, to lose weight. Adelgazar. yeah, so you lose weight, you put on weight. You could say to slim down. But a little more common to lose weight. Ponerse gordo, to get fat, but that's very rough, right? It's very direct. It's more common and more polite to say to put on weight, engordar. And we also saw that puede que Charlie no sea, he may Charlie may not be. Puede que no sea la persona más agradable del mundo. He may not be the most pleasant person in the world, but... da, da, da. Okay, so now I think we've seen this whole translation. Let me read the whole thing. I'm going to read it all through. Okay? Dear John, first of all, I want to remind you that we have a meeting scheduled for next Wednesday, the 13th, in the Blue Room of the Zurbaran Hotel. I'm telling you this because I remember that the last time we set a meeting so far in advance, you forgot about it. I hope your memory doesn't fail you this time. I'm writing to you because the other day, I ran into Charlie Porter when he was having lunch with the vice president in the Pueyo Bank in El Granero. The vice president of the Pueyo Bank, excuse me, in El Granero. He's lost a lot of weight, and he tells me that he now works as a consultant in subjects related to mergers and acquisitions. I told him that you were looking for a way to sell part of your company to a foreign partner, and he seemed very interested in knowing more details. I gave him your telephone number. I hope you don't mind. Charlie may not be the most pleasant person in the world, but you have to admit, he knows the rules of the game better than most. Keep me informed. Regards. And there we have our business letter. So like I said before, if you want to practice more of these, I really do recommend this book, Business Letters. This is book number one. There are, I think, three books, and you can get them at the Vaughan Shop, the Tienda Baugan, the Vaughan Shop. Either the physical Vaughan Shop or also online at vaughantienda.com, Vaughan Shop, vaughantienda.com, I have to say, because that is the website. So check it out. All right, now, that was our business letter for today. And we're going to move on, though. I think everybody likes phrasal verbs, so why don't we go ahead with today's Drive Time Phrasal Verb.
Drive Time Phrasal Verb.
All right, Drive Time Phrasal Verb, everybody. Our phrasal verb today, here we have the phrasal verb to turn down, que es rechazar. Now, it also means, they're also bajar el volumen, turn down the volume, bajarlo. But to turn down also means rechazar. I want to practice that meaning, so hopefully it comes clear, okay? ¿Por qué rechazó tu oferta? Why did he turn down your offer? Now, you could also say, why did he turn your offer down? That's right. So, in other words, the phrasal verb to turn down is separable. He turned down your offer. He turned it down last night. Okay? Él rechazó las ofertas de todo el mundo. He turned down everyone's offer. O las ofertas. Las ofertas. He turned down everyone's offers. Uh-huh. ¿Habrías rechazado una oferta como esa? Would you have turned down an offer like that? So being separable, we could also say, would you have turned an offer like that down? Hmm. He oído que él la rechazó. Vaya. I heard he turned her down. So that's typically like a dating option. Someone wants to date you and you say, no, no, no quiero salir con esa persona. You turn that person down.
Yeah, it happens sometimes.
¿Qué harás si el banco te rechaza? Te rechaza, rechaza. What will you do if the bank turns you down? What will you do if the bank turns you down? Espero que no me rechacen. I hope they don't turn me down. So rechazar, to turn down, to turn someone down. And it was also with the volume. Also with the volume, to turn down, bajar el volumen, yo creo. Okay? So it has these two meanings. It's a phrasal verb with to turn down in the sense of rechazar a alguien o rechazar una oferta, to refuse, to reject an offer, or bajar el volumen, turn down the volume, turn down the air conditioning also. Está a tope el ventilador. Turn down the fan. Turn it down, man. Bajarlo, okay? All right. So we're just about out of time for our second half hour, I think. I think we're going to finish there for now, but we have plenty more to talk about in the next half hour. We're going to get into a bunch of questions from listeners. We have some weird news coming up. Like I said, requests, also history. We'll talk about George Harrison, once again, who passed away on this day almost 20 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. It was 19 or 20 years ago. George Harrison passed away. We'll talk a little bit more about the great George Harrison. We'll take questions from listeners like you and plenty more in the third and final half hour of the Drive Time Show. So stay with us. Don't touch that dial.
Young people in Spain speak and understand English better today than 20 years ago. However, their level is still insufficient for effective communication in the professional world. If you're a young person, and if you want to progress in your profession rapidly and decisively, stop everything and focus now 100% on English. Get the problem 100% out of the way now. Don't postpone it.
Sí, dígame.
Hi, Pedro. This is Siobhan, your Vaughan teacher. Welcome to your telephone class.
Oh, hello, Siobhan. How are you doing today?
I'm great. So let's begin by reviewing the present perfect. Have you ever been to China?
No, I haven't.
¿No tienes tiempo de ir a clase? ¿Quieres que tu profesor Vaughan te dé clases por teléfono cuando mejor te venga? Entonces te va a gustar mucho nuestro nuevo programa de clases telefónicas de Vaughan. Infórmate ya en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com.
Escúchanos en cualquier momento y en cualquier lugar. Descarga la app de Vaughan Radio.
En 3 meses puedes hacer muchas cosas. Puedes ponerte cachas en el gimnasio.
Hola, guapa.
Ig, te has pasado un poco, ¿no?
O también puedes hacer un curso trimestral en Vaughan. En solo 3 meses verás cómo tu inglés da un importante salto de calidad. Si necesitas mejorar tu inglés sin perder el tiempo, con un método que realmente funciona, hazte con uno de nuestros cursos trimestrales. La matrícula ya está abierta. Infórmate sin compromiso en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com.
Sin prisa pero sin pausa. This is the Spanish expression that I use when people ask me what they should do with their children concerning English. Sin prisa pero sin pausa. The target date for English mastery is age 23. Children and adolescents don't need English, really, until they reach adulthood, until they finish their studies and start looking for their first job. This is usually at the age of 23. If they don't know English well at this point, they are in trouble. They have a problem, an important problem. If they don't know English well at the age of 23, when they enter the labor market, they will probably never reach a decent level, a good working level of English. So, as a mother or father, you need to make sure that your children gain a good command of English by the age of 23 at the latest. This means that when the child is born, you have 23 years to solve the problem. Are you capable of solving a problem if you have a 23-year window to solve it? I hope so. Here in Vaughan Systems, we provide children, with dynamic verbal access to English starting at the age of 4. We expose the children to the native sound of the language, and we work especially hard to promote effective listening comprehension and to make the language fun and attractive for the children. Entrust your children to us, little by little, slowly but surely, sin prisa pero sin pausa. We will transform them into bilingual adolescents and prepare them for age 23. Contact Vaughan Jr.
Más información sobre la línea Junior de Vaughan Systems en el teléfono 91-133-5832. 91-133-5832.
Sí, dígame.
Ahora tu profesor Vaughan, desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Vaughan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los tres planes de formación en grupovaughan.com/clases telefónicas.